Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to a special best of episode of Do the Right Thing. I'm Danielle Ward and with me today are Michael Legg.
Hello.
And Margaret Cabral-Smith.
Hiya.
And producer Ben is also here.
Oh, hello.
So ahead of the new series, Series 7, woohoo, we asked fans of the show on Twitter to suggest what bits from the past 38 episodes they would choose to put in a best of, and they have done. We're going to start with some clips from round one, the importance of being right. In this round, I give the panel scenarios and they have to work out what the right thing to do in any situation is. So what are we about to hear, producer Ben?
We're about to hear clips from Sarah Millican and Jesse Thorne,
Dave Gorman and Ramesh Ranganathan,
Sarah Kendall and Chris Addison,
Rufus Hound and Diane Morgan,
Paul Foote and Richard Herring,
Shappi Korsandi and Richard Osman,
and again, Rufus Hound and Diane Morgan.
Let's hear the clips.
The importance of being right.
Michael and Sarah, you're first. It's a lovely sunny day and you are feeling great. You decide to celebrate by taking all your clothes off and throwing your windows wide open to allow nature's breeze to waft around your unmentionables. But oh no, that window is, if anything, too open and a pigeon flies into your house. So what is the right way to get a bird out of your living room according to apartmenttherapy.com?
Can I check that you're using windows as in windows or windows as in downstairs lady windows? When I throw them open, your hands. Throw them open to get some air out.
That would be a new career. Yeah.
If I could ask a secondary clarifying question. When you say pigeon, do you mean bird pigeon or downstairs gentleman pigeon?
How do you get a cock out of your fanny? Is that what the question is?
That's what you think all questions are.
The question is how to get a bird out of a house.
Get a bird out of your house, yeah.
I probably just, like, if you leave the windows open and it doesn't leave of its own accord, then just start charging it rent.
I actually had a pigeon in my block of flats. I live on the second floor and there were no windows open.
Is your name
and
Luca?
And I came up to... I came home and I came up to two flights of stairs and there was a pigeon sitting on my doormat. But then this sounds really weird, but when I looked at it, it got up and it had laid an egg. And I swear, it then sort of nodded at the egg. Anyway, I totally freaked out and I had to get my boyfriend who was inside the flat to come out and shoo the pigeon away. And then I'm really sorry, but we threw the egg away.
You could totally have eaten it.
You have to. But ever since then, I swear pigeons have been after me. How? And I think they want my child. As penance.
You may be confusing pigeons with Rumpelstiltskin.
I had a pigeon in my flat once. I mean, my flatmate just both went... and then hid till it went away.
Is that the answer? Just hide till it goes away.
Have you ever had a wild animal in your house, Michael?
I've got a dog in my house all time.
Wild.
What do you mean it's not wild?
It's literally domestic. It's literally not a wild animal.
Well, do you know what? Those are just non-vegan terms.
Do you have insects in your house? Do you, as a vegan?
Incest. If you have insects.
You said incest.
Oh my god. How'd you get a cock out of your fanny?
I put a vegan trap down for my sister. And then put a bit of card under it, take her out into the park and let her go.
Can you get vegan?
Then I'll fuck her brains out. Is that what we all want to do?
Sorry, I started that.
When the pigeon is in your room, should you close the curtains or should you leave them open?
Is a pigeon like a budgie? Because a budgie goes to sleep if you cover its cage. So I'm thinking if you shut the curtains, then the pigeon will fall asleep and then you could spoon it.
Yep. You put a blanket or a jumper over it, I know this, and then you scoop it up and you take it back to Mother Nature.
Do you?
Yep.
Producer Ben?
First time ever. How many podcasts have we done? First time I've ever answered a question.
You close the curtain so it doesn't decide to fly straight into a closed window. Relax, stand still, be quiet. You'll find after a while this should calm the bird and stop it flapping around. When it is finally still, gently toss a towel over it. This prevents it from flying, then very gently pick it up, put it in a cardboard box using the towel as a cover, take it outside, let it out, and the bird will fly off. So yeah, one point still, to Michael and Sarah.
He still admitted to fucking his sister. I mean, I don't think we should give him.
Have you ever had to sober yourself up for an important meeting?
No, the good thing about my job is that I'm generally, it's expected that I'm quite drunk, you know, at all times. So it's been a long time since I had to be sober for a job. That sounds bad, doesn't it?
I mean, you are a mother.
But you don't have to seem sober for your child. They're fine, they're idiots.
They don't care.
They don't know, they don't know.
Dave Gorman, what's the most drunk you've ever been?
I once bought a hot air balloon on eBay. I've woke up in airports having bought tickets in drink.
Really?
Yeah.
For planes or...
For...
Phantom!
No, it was Phantom, but it was in Washington, D.C. So,
choice!
It was both.
I'll simplify the question for you.
Yes.
How would copying a bat help you to sober up?
It's got to be an upside down thing, hasn't it?
Be nocturnal.
Inspire a superhero.
Be a bit icky.
What's icky about a bat?
Well, if it was a bat in this room, what, you'd just be calm, would you?
Yeah, I really like bats. I really like bats, yeah.
No, you don't. No, you don't really like bats.
Really...
You'd have a bat.
I like bats.
Do you like dogs?
Yeah.
You've got a dog. Why? You claim you like bats. Where's your bat, cunt? Oh. Sorry. I've just invented a superhero.
It's not something
about... He killed his own parents.
Ramesh, how would you copy a bat?
Like a hangout in a cave and...
Before
they
you
cool.
See Jeremy
they're
Paxman.
Quite cool.
Like, I mean, I'm actually on the principle that I'm in the back of an Addison Lee on my way to see Jeremy Paxman.
Yeah. Stop off at a cave.
All right. I mean, she asked me how I would like to be like a bat. Okay, I'm just going with the fucking question here, right?
Ramesh, I think you were supposed to pay attention to what had been said before that as well. I don't think
okay,
it was
fine,
just...
Okay, fine, fine. So, within an Addison Lee car, how would I be like a bat? Well, I fucking couldn't. All right? Because bats don't take taxis. This whole thing is bullshit. All right? That's my answer, okay?
Come back.
The question specified a motorbike...
Oh, so Margaret, you weren't listening either, were you, fuckface? Maybe you should take some of your own medicine, dickheads.
Producer Ben, what is the actual answer?
Okay, so according to uk.askmen.com, scientists have discovered that when bats get drunk off the alcohol inside ripened fruit, they then seek out fructose to help them sober up. This should help humans too, so the stuff to eat and drink is stuff like fruit, honey, Coca-Cola, apple sauce, ketchup, Italian fat-free salad dressing and Pop-Tarts.
All things that are commonly found on the back of a motorbike, which is, what a handy answer, fuckface.
Or you could just rehydrate, drink water, fruit juice or sports drinks, even better, not on the back of a bike, I guess, but make yourself a broth from bouillon stock cubes.
This whole thing is bullshit. You're just giving make a bouillon. What the fuck are you talking about?
I've written down here in my notes, I hate everyone I've ever slept with. I wish their knobs would fall. Wish their knobs would fall off.
I mean, I believe, Danielle, that you once said to me, when I see someone I've slept with, I just think, you've been inside me. Why aren't you dead? Or not, but
don't you think though, once you've been there with someone, I think the whole reason I can't do it is just because the jealousy thing is if the shoe was on the other foot and my husband was
exactly
like,
as a woman, do you not wish you had teeth down there so it snapped it off?
No, that's really not what she said. You've got to listen. She was talking about empathy, I think.
I was nodding the whole time going, yes, I'm essentially saying I wish I had vagina dentata. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yes.
So, Margaret, are you good at staying friends with your exes?
I only have two exes, and I've never done...
We're not talking about chromosomes.
On and on.
on about my bloody chromosome.
It's no shame. The Y is well overrated.
Chris, are you friends with any of your exes?
Yeah, I'm friends with one of my exes, but there was a sort of 20-year gap where we weren't friends. But we have a lot of friends in common.
How old were you when you went out?
We went out at university.
If I was your wife, I'd be so threatened by that.
Are you serious?
Yep. Definitely.
But my wife is much more stable than you.
Yeah. She's not a stand-up.
She's not a stand-up. She's not one of us. She's a human.
Okay, so in that hypothetical situation where you, like, you got friends in common stuff, anytime you guys were talking to each other, I'd think, he's put his dick in her. He's had his dick in her. And that would just drive me crazy.
Exactly. That's what you want them to die.
And her vagina has had your dick in it. What are they talking about? Are they talking about their dicks and vaginas? I bet that's what they're talking about.
You're sort of talking about this as though that what you're saying is a reasonable response. You're saying I would do this, and the implication is therefore this is the thing that everybody would do and perfectly normal and reasonable, when in fact you need help.
I've just realised my husband is literally, as we speak...
Under that
fucking another woman.
Either. Yes, yeah. No, being directed by his ex-girlfriend.
Wait, what?
Directed to do what?
In a play. Maybe I'm massively arrogant, but my husband slept with, on the television, two people who were in the top 100 sexiest ladies in the country, as voted by FHM. But I met them. I was not threatened. No, because one of them didn't know what the word etiquette meant.
And how could you be threatened by that?
No,
yes, yes, she might be enveloping my husband's penis with her perfectly manicured vagina, but she is an imbecile.
I don't know. I couldn't fuck an imbecile.
That is a great T-shirt. I'm having that T-shirt now.
Has anybody, have you ridden a motorbike?
No. I have. My uncle, who's now dead, had one.
How did he die?
Skin cancer.
Oh my God. This is awful.
It's an odd.
Sorry, I know I just applauded the death.
I thought this was going to be like Loose Women.
I would have genuinely loved that.
But you've been on the back of his bike, have
yes,
you?
Yeah. It's good. It's scary, though, having to lean into the bend. You don't want to.
No? Mm. MCS, you were going to pipe up there?
Yeah, I've been on on the back of a motorbike, and the man subsequently lost his arm. But really? That's weird, isn't it?
Careless.
I don't want to say why I lost touch with him.
Is there an arm in your fridge?
Sure, that's less embarrassing, yeah.
I think it's quite cold-hearted when talking about a man who lost his arm to say you lost touch.
What is the right way to get rid of an unwanted erection according to howtogetridofstuff.com?
Well, I've never had an unwanted erection. I've always liked it. It's always good to know what's there.
Well, you say that, but there have been times when I haven't wanted it. It's not just about whether you want the erection. It's about other people in society. They matter.
Hear, hear.
Well, I'm sorry if I'm an old-fashioned gentleman who still thinks of an erection as a compliment. I've got one now.
When I was at school, sometimes I would get an erection in the science lessons, and then...
Why particularly science?
Well, no, nothing to do with being science lessons, really. It's more just that it was about 3:30 in the afternoon. It's afternoon time, wow. For a gentleman's afternoon erection.
Yeah.
We are learning things today.
It's way after the 11th's erection. Yeah.
How did you get rid of it, or did you just live with it?
I think I learnt to live in. Ultimately, people learnt to look forward to the erection. That was what became one of the highlights of the lessons. Indeed, later on, it was actually in the biology lesson.
Used as an example.
Yeah, it was used as an example in a small bell jar.
Richard Herring, yes. you like penises, don't you?
I know everything about the penis.
Is this 3:30 erection?
That's not true. Well,
just I mean, so cool.
By the time you're 45, if you get an erection, you just want to hold on to it for as long as you can. No, they're such a rare occurrence.
When
you can ejaculate, that will get rid of your erection.
Yeah.
Yes.
Unless you're actually on Viagra, that's as I understand it, as I am told. I had one of my friends is an STD doctor in one of the clinics.
I can see how you met.
And she's an attractive woman, and the men would either ask her out when they were getting their diseased genitals looked at, which
it's
I think
so
is
optimistic.
I think that is really, I think that's beyond doctor. Maybe we'll wait a week or two, see what the test results are. But often men would get an erection as they're being examined, but she told me that she would hit it with a pencil. And that would make it go down.
My friend worked in an STD clinic and she got into trouble on the first day because the first crabs she ever saw, she went, "Oh, look, they're so sweet."
Shappy, do you think wolves are sexy?
Finally, someone's asked.
Well, my favourite film is American Werewolf in London, and it's quite hot when he changes and he's kind.
He killed several people.
Yeah, yes, but he regresses it. And he died. He wouldn't eat the woman he loved, though. I met her on a train. What was her name?
Jenny Agutter.
Jenny Agutter, right? I was coming from Exeter. By the way, this isn't my best anecdote. I have others. And there was genuinely leaves on the line, so we all had to exit the train at Exeter, and everyone was there. There was like mutiny going on, what are we going to do? And then a group of about 15 of us went, let's hire a minibus and go to the next station. And Jenny Agutter comes along and says, can I join your group? And I said,
she was driving a minibus.
What is it with Jenny Agutter and stopping fucking trains?
I was so proud of myself because I said in that moment, if you can't sort out the railway, who can? And then she, when we got the next train, she had a first class ticket, I had a standard class ticket, but she sat in standard with me because she felt she ought to, because I think I just looked really needy. And we shared a bottle of wine. When I say we shared it, she's teetotal. Seen anyone run so fast once they arrived at Euston the way she said goodbye to me. We're tight.
Have you got an actual answer, Margaret or Shappy? What would you do with a wolf?
Climb a tree.
Climb a tree.
Dig a pit. If I say I have a terrible, like my worst fear is being eaten by a lion, and that's kind of why I'm scared of dogs as well. Anything with teeth really properly terrifies me.
Anything with teeth.
Except Jenny Agutter. I love her.
So you don't like combs or cysts?
No. Sometimes when I look at those, you know those weird times in the middle of the night when you just look at weird shit on the internet and you look at like someone that was born with their own twin inside their belly, normally all you see of that twin is like teeth. And a blob of hair. I don't like those either.
Anyway, have another drink, Jenny. We're only at Taunton.
Do you know what I really genuinely do when I can't sleep? Mm-hmm. I go through all of the characters in Friends alphabetically and try to name their relatives. Only I've got a bit good to sit and I can get to the end now before I've fallen asleep.
The six main or all of
six
the...
Six main. I don't know Gunther's great fucking uncles, do I?
I've never seen Friends.
Never.
What?
I should point out, Michael, it's a television show. It's not a concept.
Oh! Maybe I have seen it then. I've seen the Northern Irish version. Cunts in a Fountain.
It does sound intrinsically more threatening, doesn't it?
I'll be there for you.
Hey, Barbary, right, I'll be there for you.
I don't think that's the lyric. Margaret and Diane.
Yeah, but the real lyrics are even more threatening in a Belfast accent.
So, no one told you life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke, you're broke.
Your love life's IRA. We're gonna go with that!
Before we continue, we've got a message from our sponsors. Who is us ourselves?
Yes. If you enjoy Do the Right Thing, why not consider supporting the show with your cold, hard cash? We'd love to make some more episodes, and we'd love to make some episodes more quickly.
Yeah, we'd like to do it faster.
But even more than that, we'd like to be able to afford to pay ourselves.
And our guests.
And our guests, yes. For doing this, we don't pay ourselves
anything. Our guests.
Or our guests. Well, we pay them 20 quid.
A very small amount of money.
Yes. They get 20 quid!
Oh, Michael's going to leave now.
Yes, well...
I've got nowhere to go.
Anyway, so we don't pay ourselves because we don't make any money from the show, and so we'd like to change that going forward. We'd love to make some more series and more episodes in the future, but to do that, we need your help. So there's a couple of ways you can donate. Go to comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate.
Please.
Yes, please.
Please isn't in the address.
No, no. Oh, God. I can probably get it put in. Donate, please.
Donate, please.
comedy.co.uk/DTRT/donate. To find out how you can make us a one-off payment via PayPal.
Or,
well, we've also set up a Patreon where you can pay an amount per episode going forward.
That's what I do with The Chase on ITV.
You give them money.
I just throw a coin at the telly every time, every time it's on.
Have you broken your telly?
Anyway, knowing that people are pledging money for new episodes will really help us plan ahead to make a new series and also enable us to pay ourselves and also enable us to put the time in to get edits done more quickly and things like that. So that's our plan. We'd love to make more, but we need your help.
Before you get excited and go, oh, I've seen Patreon. I know the sort of things people do. Don't people put nude photos of themselves on there for like $2? That isn't what we're doing.
Aww.
No, we've kept it pretty simple on Patreon. Really, we want to just keep making the show and we'd love your help to do it. But if you do pledge above a certain amount, I think it's $7 per episode, you will get access to a much longer edit of each episode.
And oh my Christ, the last few episodes we've done have been like 2.5 hours. So
and have lots more dodgy material than even like goes out. If
really
you can
bad stuff. We're going to be all over the Daily Mail.
Yes, lots of bits that don't make the episode proper. And so if you like that sort of thing, then that's something you can get by going to our Patreon.
Please give us your money because we want to make more episodes.
Let's get back to the clips. Now we're going to have some from our agony round in which we discuss a real agony aunt letter sent into a newspaper or website and then try to agony aunt the audience members as well. What are we about to hear, producer Ben?
We are about to hear from Catherine Ryan and Mike Wozniak.
Jessica Fostercue and Nish Kumar.
Joe Lycett and Doc Brown.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Anyway, to warm our panel up, here's a real problem sent to an actual agony aunt. Michael, could you read this, please?
Here we go. Dear agony aunt, in 2012, my wife and I purchased a top-of-the-range vibrator. Oh, no? Oh, it is cheeky, isn't it? We used it a few times, and we're just beginning to really integrate it into our sex lives when she died suddenly of a heart attack. Brackets, the vibrator had nothing to do with that. Now, I've begun to date again. I've met a woman with an open mind. And I'm thinking she might enjoy using the vibrator. But I'm not sure how to suggest it. Is it creepy to offer a dead woman's vibrator to someone else? And if so, what else can I do with it? Sell it? It's an expensive piece of equipment. Barely used. I think it should be employed and loved once again.
The important word in barely used is not barely.
How do you explain that, though, to your new partner? Just go, oh, well, what happened to your ex-wife? Well, we went to bed. I said, I'm going to take you to heaven and back. Well, come on. Let's not push it.
Do you buy things secondhand, Mike?
Sex toys and the like. I just sort of, you know, have a rummage in the park bushes and see what I find. Get a cat to lick it off and...
They've got antiseptic tongues, don't they?
They do. They do. There's a little sort of spray gland at the back, with sort of lemony fluid. And,
Do you know vultures have antibacterial shit?
No.
Yeah, yeah. They shit on their own legs.
You mean no. It's a great fact. There's no way it's true.
It's true. That's because, you know, they wade through carcasses.
Right.
They shit down their own legs and it kills the bacteria.
I've met people like that.
If you could get one to shit on a used vibrator.
I think the first time you use a vibrator, you wanted to come out of a sealed package.
I think so, yeah. A friend of mine went back with a guy. They'd been on a couple of dates. It was the first time she'd been back to his house. And he bought, and this is the worst bit for me, he bought out a sort of battered gym bag full of second-hand sex toys. as a treat.
I'd have thought the inside of a vagina is the cleanest place on the body.
It depends what's just been put there.
Like a second-hand vibrator, for example.
Vulture shit would be fine.
That's usually what it is.
Thing is, it doesn't go into who his new girlfriend is, but say, for instance, it's Fiona Bruce. I mean, she's into that shit, right? She's into used goods.
Listen, this is a very serious question.
Sorry, Catherine, sorry.
I know it's all fun and games now, and you feel like, this is crazy. But men do this. They do have a dirty gym bag full of their own toys and handcuffs and things.
You shouldn't use a gym bag. You should use a lunchbox or something like that.
I always keep the containers from takeaway for that reason.
I did a very naughty thing. I'm a nice girl until you cross me. And then I'm very mean. And I found an ex was not being very nice to me, and I knew that it would be over. And when I found out about some cheating, I dug a little more. I found out about some more cheating and some more cheating. And he was one of these ones with a gym bag of, like, dirty sex stuff, like butt plugs, gags, the whole nine. I didn't touch most of it. And then, so what I did was...
Yeah, the word there is most. Yeah.
What I did was, is that when I was throwing him out with all of his things, I sent the big bag of dirty sex stuff to the only address that I had for him after I'd thrown him out, which was his parents. Sorry.
And then his parents said, well, we can't say it's our son's stuff to the agony aunt. Let's just make up a dead wife or something.
Let's go to producer Ben, who has the actual agony aunt answer.
This is from Dear Prudence in Slate magazine, and she says, talk about a buzzkill. I can't even imagine raising the idea of...
A buzzkill?
I can't even imagine raising the idea of asking your new squeeze to party with a vibrator loved by your late wife. Even if you've cleaned it off with antibacterial toy cleaning spray, this suggestion is going to cause unnecessary friction.
The most powerful cleaning substance.
As for selling it, yes, it's possible. That could find the vibrator a new home. But I would not want to meet the kind of person who would ring my bell in order to get a used vibrator. I'm going to give Mike the point there for stressing that toys should come out of a sealed package.
Good. Thank you.
So next we have Paddy. Is Paddy here? His wife's birthday is on Boxing Day.
Is your wife here?
No.
And every year she's upset to get birthday presents with reindeers and holly on the wrapping paper. What should I do? Well,
I've no idea. I mean, I think we're all stumped there.
Right,
I mean,
Paddy,
there isn't a solution to that, is
can
there?
Can you explain it again?
Do you try and make a special effort on Boxing Day for her birthday?
Not until now, no.
Paddy...
I mean...
Paddy, there's a real tension in the room because everyone's...
I think it's because his voice is really deep and scary.
And I was like, because everyone's like, is Paddy fucking the biggest piece of shit in the world?
Yes.
Paddy, do you buy a present that's like one big thing? Like one big kettle?
The dream. That's why I ask for every year one big kettle,
otherwise known as a cauldron.
What are you getting her this year?
I haven't decided yet. Any ideas?
A new husband.
New husband.
Well, you sound like a real catch, Paddy.
laughing, but I feel like crying.
Also, because Paddy, I don't know whether you've got like a frog in your throat or something, or whether you just have a genuinely Tom Waitsian voice, but I can imagine that when she gets a present that's wrapped in Christmas wrapping and you just go, happy fucking birthday. It doesn't really sell the festivity.
Oh, Paddy, who do you think your wife would give points to?
Keep in mind, I've said nothing.
Because you're scared.
No, I'll be honest with you, I'm still baffled by the fucking question. I'm a cunt. What's the problem? You're the fucking problem.
I think because of that, Michael.
Is Daddy JJ here?
Daddy JJ? Yeah. Serious?
Yeah. Daddy JJ says, my wife and I cannot agree on what to tell our little girl to name her bits. I prefer to call it vagina, she prefers frou-frou. Do you have any good suggestions?
You know what? I've been dealing with this quite a bit recently. Both my daughters have been more than happy with vagina, but the issue that I've really had is with the younger one who masturbates all the time. And she is,
how old
is she? She's six. And the older one, my older daughter is nine, okay? So, like, I've never experienced this with her ever. She's very, very private about her privates, which I like. As a dad who just doesn't want to get involved in women's shit, I'm happy with that.
It's not with his shit.
But the, but the little one, constantly, I was driving along and I heard, like, a humming from the back seat, and she'd brought a little mouse with a pull-out cord to it, a little toy mouse, and when you let go of the cord, it rolls along the ground. But if you hold it, all it does is vibrate, right? And she had that on her, on the back seat, and I was just like, what the hell? And she was like, it feels so nice. And I didn't know how to reprimand her about it. This is not what the story is supposed to be. I just wanted to get to the crux of how I learned that she calls her thing a vagina and nothing else. We were at the Shaw Theatre in Euston. The elder one, she was doing a ballet recital, right? And the lights are about to go down about 5 minutes from showtime. And she's there just flicking the bean like it's nothing, right? Constantly. And I was like, you can't... I don't want
to
make it feel weird because
no,
it's natural,
you just
right?
Say not in
I said, please,
public.
Please don't do it when we're around strangers. Do it in your bed, do it at bedtime, after story time is fine, okay? You know? It's fine. And she said, why? What's wrong? And I said, look, we've had this conversation, remember the mouse thing? And the lights go down and everyone's like, shh, all the parents are now, shh, shh, shh. And the orchestra are about to strike up, but there's that moment of silence when the lights go down, it's all black, and there's a hush. And she started doing it again. I said, please stop doing that. And she said, I'm just tickling my vagina. Like that loud. That loud. I switched seats. I just fucking left. I got up and left. So that when the lights came on the interval, I wouldn't be there. I'd be somewhere else.
I think that's fair enough.
But vagina's fine, man. Like, it doesn't... Like,
no, I think it sounds...
Penis has a lot more nicknames.
I zoned out a minute ago. Can someone summarise what's happened?
Have you ever seen a vagina?
Wow. Holy shit. That is incredible. There's some shit you just can't write. Just unreal, that. Unreal.
I didn't know I'd invited my mum, but there you go.
I didn't know she had a glass vagina.
Wow.
Sorry, Daddy JJ.
Oh, sorry, Daddy. I mean...
Daddy yeah. Vajayjay.
What does the JJ stand for? Maybe we can work around that.
She's not calling it after her dad.
Daddy JJ, has any of that been helpful?
No.
Well, in that case, we'll move on. Producer Ben, let's check the scores.
Gash. Sorry, we're too late. Sorry. Let's move on.
See, I should go back and listen to this, because since the Christmas episode, which we recorded in October when I was 35 weeks pregnant, I have given birth to a child that has a vagina.
What have you been calling it?
Mary, or her flip-flops.
Her flip-flops? That could really lead to
that's really close to flaps, isn't it?
Flip-flop flaps!
Just cleaning up your flip-flops.
I'm getting a really specific image of your daughter's vagina now. Is that what you want?
Well, we've got that on tape. Now.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Our third round is the expert round, where we get someone on who has an interesting job or hobby and then waste their time by trying to guess what they do in some weird situations. I like the Fly Lady. We've got that coming up, haven't we, Ben?
Yeah, we've got Erica the Fly Lady coming up.
Erica Fly Lady. Margaret, Michael, who were your favourite experts?
Well, the memorable one for me is the Scottish chef.
Chef, I was going to say, we've got the chef in here.
We've got any of the experts that terrified us, those are the most memorable.
No, we don't have the Scottish chef because we're quite visual, him bringing all his knives to show us.
The Simon Munnery episode,
Simon
wasn't it?
And Lucy Porter.
I very much enjoyed how to dispose of a bomb.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Have you done that a lot since?
Oh, it's been really handy, actually. It's been one of the many things that I've implemented into my everyday life.
Into your mothering.
Into my mothering. Excellent.
I think I like John Ronson best because he said to us that if any of the...
It's in there.
Oh, it's in there. Yeah. Well, then I'll tell you what, I won't even... But my point is, he's wrong, though, isn't he?
Who are we about to hear, Producer Ben?
Well, we're going to go back and hear from Joe Lysett and Doc Brown again with Dr. Erica McAllister, the Fly Lady from the Natural History Museum.
And Susan Corman and Nick Doody, joined by Matthew Perrett, who's an interpreter and easily, I've got to say, my favourite ever expert.
We're going to hear from Les Dennis.
Les Dennis!
Yes! Bridget Christie.
I think we only hear Les Dennis's laugh.
Oh! We had Les Dennis
on! We're going to hear Les Dennis's laugh and... my doppelganger, Bridget Christie, and Mark Olver, and our expert, Dr. Kevin Fernando, GP.
We're going to hear from Robin Ince and Josie Long with expert John Ronson on psychopaths.
And we're going to hear from Kerry Godleyman, Paul Sinner, and evolutionary biologist Simon Watt.
Ask, 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 ask.
How did you get into flies, Erica?
As a child, I was given a microscope, and I used to, the cats used to bring in dead mammals, and I would watch them decompose in my bedroom. And I had a lecturer at university, he'd scoop up this pile of insects, and he'd go, Erica, that eats that, that lays its egg in that, that rips the head off that, that does that, and I was like, brilliant. It was my life.
Tell me, Erica, how do you find a good man?
I fiddle with genitalia every day.
Fly genitalia?
Oh, it's the most exciting genitalia.
Oh, my God. Flies have,
this has gone to another level.
They don't just have cocks. They have, little tickling organs on the side of them. They have all sorts of things. They have, in comparison to their body, genitalia, a third to a half the size of them.
Not that unusual in my case.
So you're saying half their body is an erogenous zone?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I see.
So you say if I swat a fly and I narrowly graze its side, it's enjoying that shit. Is that what you're saying?
We've just been to a fly conference, 400 fly experts around the world. I'll tell you, and we had this plenary lecture at 9 o'clock in the morning about fly porn, and we could watch them all doing, hitting each other and headbutting and how they usually mate. And then there was a bit where they were doing fly kissing, and I tell you, none of the audience could look. We were like, oh, that's too intimate.
Break it down.
Yeah.
Break it down. What happened? Is it that thing that comes out when they're sucking on poo? Is it that thing that comes out and they...
That's their mouth.
Yeah, so is that what it is? They do
No. Do you use your mouth to transfer sperm?
No, but you said fly kissing. I use my mouth to kiss. No, I don't know what the hell. Kissing. I don't know what the hell you do at the Natural History Museum with your nerd friends. But with me, I use my mouth to kiss.
Yes, they knew exactly the same.
Okay, break
with
it down.
With your nerd friends.
Hey, she riled me.
How old are we, 12?
She riled me. I'm really sorry about the nerd quip. But I'm genuinely interested in fly kissing. Can I just...
Well, we'll give you the first scenario. So this is number one. Erica has travelled to a remote part of Peru full of crazy-assed flora and fauna, hoping to catch a special kind of fly that only lives on a particular type of Peruvian potato. However, all the potatoes have been snaffled up by a branch of spudgy-like. Spudgy doesn't like more-like. And the only potatoes left are 5,000 feet up a mountainside. Erica neither has climbing equipment nor is she a goat, but she wants the fly. What would she do in this situation?
So she needs to climb a mountain?
Yeah.
To get a potato which has a fly on it that she would like to study. But she hasn't got the equipment.
Yeah.
You would climb, wouldn't you? You would do it.
Well, I'm not going to give it away, but, you know, if it's a beautiful fly, and there are some beautiful
flies. How would you describe a beautiful one? Because when I see the close-ups, they all look like idiots.
No.
Yeah, which is the hot
look
one?
Look at fucking nerds,
the hot
man.
Ones. The really cute ones are the bee flies. They look like little fluffy narwhals.
Sorry, what's a narwhal?
The whale with the big, like, with unicorn.
The horn.
Yeah.
The unicorn whale, yeah.
So there's a fly that looks like a little fluffy version of that, if you can get that in your head.
I can get that in my head. I feel like we started off on the wrong foot here. I apologise for the nerd comment. I think it was out of hand. Really,
and you told her that all flies
wrong.
Look like idiots.
Yeah. But up close, come on.
Well.
Up close they do. But that's not on her. I'm not saying she looks like idiot. Whereas the thing about...
This is the thing I've chosen.
That's what I'm saying.
Spend my
life studying the nerds.
That you call an idiot.
Yeah, but all sorts of people study idiots. Like, my mum's a psychotherapist. Do you know what I mean?
Is the answer something that you would entice the fly down with? So there's something else other than the potato that it would be interested in?
Okay. I have smeared feces round forests.
I don't know if I want to know the answer anymore.
I've used different types of feces to compare whether different animals attract different insects. So I was in Costa Rica and I got a howler monkey feces. And then I got some cow shit, some dog shit, and some human shit, and I smeared this all around the forest.
Can we just rewind that?
That's
just
why I was
slightly.
A bit concerned about. Yeah.
Who's poo?
Students.
Was it the student?
Right. If you had to do an experiment and you had to use
human poo. No, I see where this is going. You would use your own.
Students.
Well, so you
would
smear somebody else's poo.
No, I wouldn't
touch
somebody else's.
I'm interested in the term have to.
I'd like to say that the human feces was the most attractive.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You must be proud.
I was.
So, panel, in a moment you're going to have a second guess what Matthew thinks is the right thing to do in some interpretation-based scenarios. But before that, you get a chance to ask him any probing questions that you like. So if you want to question Matthew, and time will be up when Ben's thing goes funny.
Do you eavesdrop on foreigners?
Yes, that's a very good job description.
This isn't What's My Line. We know what his job is.
Well, I really mean it. Like, when you're out and about, like, if a foreigner, like, called you a cunt,
yeah.
Would you say anything or would you go, oh, God?
No, it is awkward, especially because we're trained to listen to several things at once. You're speaking and listening at the same time. So if you're sitting at a table and there are people speaking another language, assuming nobody can understand them, sometimes you do involuntarily tune in and there they are calling you a cunt.
How often does that happen per day?
Well, depends how long the meal is.
Should the rest of us go? Very good. I know this is racist, right?
Oh, God.
Wow. Given how racist something is when someone says, I don't want to be racist, but this is going to be pretty fucking racist.
I like it when foreign people say English words in amongst all their foreign language. I think it's really, really funny. Because, like, if you heard a Chinese person... Say what? If you were...
Susan's leaving.
Susan Kalman, who knows the law, is almost out of the room right now.
No, look, I'm not being right. I'm just stating a fact.
No,
No. If you heard a Chinese person, seriously, right?
Yeah.
Say, you know, chin, chin, chin.
What are you talking
about? And then the word Cindy Lauper. It's really funny. It is funny, admit it. It happened to me. I was in Chinatown, San Francisco. I heard ching, 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 Cindy Lauper, and it was fucking funny. And you know what? You're as bad as the racist if you don't find that funny. If you think I'm being racist, you weren't there. The Chinese people I overheard were blacked up. As they often are.
Those are black people.
Being racist about the Chinese, which they often are.
I think we should just skip straight to the first scenario. You are summoned to number 10 Downing Street to interpret for the PM in a meeting with a high-ranking Spanish trade envoy. During the meeting, the envoy has had too many coffees and starts mouthing off about Gibraltar. At one point, he says, "That's our rock, and those are our monkeys, you baboon-faced, flatulent, shit-eating prick." Now, you know if David Cameron hears such a thing, he might cry. So what would Matthew do in this situation? Would he literally translate what the envoy has said?
I think his job is to do that, so he would do that. I don't know whether you would do kind of a wry smile. I don't know whether
you would
do
that. Well, you do that, you know, that little, with your finger, that circle movement near your head. This is what this weirdo's saying. You could say that, but this isn't really the answer. I'm giving you advice, really. I'm doing your job. Trying to help you out.
I think he'd be slight. He might not give a literal translation. I think he might be a bit diplomatic, but say, "Look, he's not happy about
that." Do you think he might say, "Ching, ching, ching,
Cindy Lauper"?
Matthew, have you ever been to number 10 Downing Street?
Yes, well, I can't say I've literally been in that exact situation because I've signed the Official Secrets Act.
Okay.
But let's say, hypothetically, I were. The speaker clearly intends to give offence.
Yes.
And one would assume that I've been hired by the British authorities, not by the Spanish authorities, so it's not my task to help a Spaniard save face. So it would be my patriotic duty to render the insult as accurately as possible, which I would do with great relish.
Kevin, what would you do in this situation if you're given £9,000 worth of spoons?
You're actually meant to declare any gifts over the value of £100, and any gifts of any value you get should really be commensurate to the services you've provided.
Hold on, so you're allowed to get gifts based on how good your service as a GP is?
Well, if someone, you know, if I just went and give a little old lady some antibiotics for a chest infection and she gave me £9,000 worth of spoons, it's probably inappropriate.
So are you saying it would be okay if it was one spoon?
Well, yeah, I
suppose. Two spoons.
I never thought I'd hear that sentence, and I'm so glad I haven't died without hearing that sentence.
Five spoons.
I don't know. I've never
ten
really
thought. Spoons.
Probably no more than 10 spoons.
So no more than 10 spoons. So if you cured someone's... If someone had cancer and you helped them through that and they got better, you'd be happy with £9,000 worth of spoons?
Well, I'd probably want a whole cutlery set.
I would like to ask, statistically, how many people in this room right now are likely to be psychopaths?
Okay, well, there's, I would say, 100 people in this room.
Thank you.
That's very nice of you, John.
Is there fewer than... No, there's not. No,
50?
50, okay. 50. So the statistic is 1 in 100 people is a psychopath, so...
But everyone knows, probably, one person that they think... Yeah. They're so ruthless and they're so charming and no one susses out what they're like.
I'm interested in what you just said about there being...
I was scared you're going to be like, "You're the psychopath!" I'm like, so much remorse!
Yeah. Who on the panel, who out of the five of us... is?
Yeah, who would be most psychopathic?
Michael.
Yeah!
We get points, right? Michael. We get points.
Right, panel. Here's the first question that we put to Simon. Simon is with a team of scientists trekking through the rainforest looking for the very rare Bolivian saber-toothed rabbit. Very few people have seen it, let alone been able to study it.
It's very tiny. And after months of fruitless searching, the team are beginning to understand why. After a long day walking through muddy terrain, Simon is back at camp scraping the claggy earth from his boots when he realises it isn't claggy earth after all. It is the remains of a crushed Bolivian sabre-toothed rabbit.
I feel really upset about it.
Which he stepped on by mistake. What would Simon do in this situation?
Oh, cry.
I reckon he'd Jurassic Park the shit out of that. Yeah?
Do you like Jurassic Park?
Yeah, it's like the Bible to us.
So, Margaret, what would you do? You've, everybody's been looking for this rabbit and you've...
It does sound like something I'd
do. You've stood on it. What would you do?
You can still study it if it's dead, right?
Is it the last one?
Choice? Yeah, is it the
it's
last...
totally the last one.
I don't think it's the last one. It's
we'll be all right then.
Rare. Simon, what would you do in this situation?
I'll probably scrape it off and try and do the best I could with it. So if it's dead anyway, the thing is actually we document species all the time that are dead. Like half the time, if you go, you fog a tree, you put smoke up a tree, and you're killing things just to prove they were alive without any form of irony. So you get tons of... It's very common to identify species that are dead.
So you're
that's what
right.
I said.
Yeah, so you'd probably get the points if I have to...
Yeah!
Points to Margaret. So you're right, booting something in the head then. That's good to know.
Yeah, you don't want to. It's not choice, but if you have to, you make do with what you have. I know people who've identified species from dung. Like, they've looked in the dung to see the things that have been eaten and actually identified them from the charred, eaten remains.
What would you have done if you were one of the scientists in the film The Thing?
I would assume I'm the thing and quarantine myself, I think, if I had a choice for study.
Oh my God, that's the most beautiful answer I've ever heard to anything.
The thing is, this actually happened, so Charles Darwin...
It didn't happen.
No, not at all.
I'll point that out now.
Situation with the rabbit. They were searching for the lesser rhea in South America, and he found it when he discovered he was eating it.
Careless.
Yeah. So the chef had
it's a slightly different film, but what would you have done if you were the Heath Ledger character in Brokeback Mountain?
Paul, we're trying to win points here.
What would you have done about the squirrel at the back door?
Oh no, that was my question.
I've actually been in that situation. This is really gross for me. When I was a kid, there was a bird which went straight into our window and it broke its head so that it was looking at me through the window with its head upside down.
Oh, God. Did you turn the radio off and look away?
I went and got some bread thinking I couldn't kill it, but I could let it die surrounded by food and kind of paradise. But as I went outside and I went to feed it the bread, this scared it, so it took off, and as its head was upside down, it flew backwards into a field where a horse stood on it and ate it.
Oh my God!
Extraordinary expert.
I don't feel anywhere near on that, no.
Finally, we have a selection of do the wrong things that listeners picked out.
Yes, before we hear, there was a guy called Steve Holmes on Twitter who still doesn't understand what Margaret meant when she spoke with authority about how German men don't have foreskins. You sound very adamant in the clip.
And do you know what? I've actually learnt since then it's not true. What I'm saying is the German man I have slept with doesn't have a foreskin. So I don't know why.
I've got such a clear image now of your husband's penis.
You had that anyway.
The Jewish man I've slept with didn't have a foreskin.
That is a more common piece of knowledge.
I'm basically all foreskin. That's all I've got.
Oh, God.
Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing! Do the wrong thing!
You have 24 hours to save the world. What is the wrong thing to do?
Is it book a spa day? Fucking spa day.
I like a spa day.
You're an idiot.
Nick Clegg asked to use your toilet. What is the wrong thing to do?
Haggle.
Eat the toilet.
That's always the worst thing you can do in any circumstance.
So you get a point for that.
Eat your toilet. You're a fucking moron.
I've invested so much money in this festival to do a show with you.
Is eating a toilet. You'll look stupid if that's the right answer at the end.
A German man contacts you on Facebook and says his ultimate fantasy is to watch someone cut his foreskin off and cook it for him. He offers you £10,000. What is the wrong thing to do?
Pair it with an Australian white.
Yes, it's got to be old world. It's got to be old world.
It's got to be an old world wine.
I would go with a saucer.
Why is that a German man? German men.
I'd go with a sip.
Because there was a guy who did it.
Yeah, yes, man, no. The German men don't have foreskins. They don't.
They're famously not Jewish now.
I know that German men do not have foreskins. German men.
They're born without foreskin.
Foreskin durch Technik.
Clive comes round.
What Clive?
Is the wrong thing?
Clive.
Who's Clive?
Clive comes round. What is the wrong thing to do? Let Clive in. Clive comes round.
Saying it!
That is literally the question. Clive comes round. What's the wrong thing to do?
Yeah, Michael.
The wrong thing to do is to ask Clive, how's his wife?
Yeah.
Because she recently passed away. Yeah.
That's actually very wrong.
That is wrong.
Yeah.
You see dead people, what is the wrong thing to do?
Introduce them to Clive.
Every time you have a wee, a fish comes out your penis. What is the wrong thing to do?
Britain's Got Talent.
Yeah.
Start an aquarium.
Oh, that sounds nice.
Yeah.
The right thing is to wank and get them all out at once.
No, the right thing is to learn how to shit chips.
You are left in charge of buying a pregnant colleague's leaving present. What is the wrong thing to do?
A bottle of gin and a coat hanger.
A Weight Watchers subscription.
Andy?
Probably put them in an old Soviet space rocket in a dog outfit and fire her into space.
That sounds very expensive.
Chase that stick. They had another rocket before the dog in the rocket that just had a stick in it.
Just had a stick?
Yeah.
There you go. I hope you've enjoyed this best of episode. If you disagree with any of the choices, then direct your complaints towards producer Ben.
Hi.
Please remember to leave us a review on iTunes. It is really, really helpful. Or like the show where you possibly can on social media, the little heart things or the little star things, or just when you're out and about in the shops. Like when you go to Co-op, think, I really like Do the Right Thing, because all that helps.
Also, persuade your friends and family to
listen. Persuade your friends and family to listen, unless they are of a sensitive disposition. Michael and Margaret, any last words?
Yes, sorry.
Shut up, Margaret.
Bye.
Do the Right Thing featured Margaret Cavon Smith, Michael Legg, Danielle Ward and me, producer Ben Walker. Martin White didn't do this music, but he wrote the music that inspired it. Thanks to everyone for their clip suggestions. Do the Right Thing is a Fuzz production for the internet.
Do the right thing!
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.